The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
Yes, Dublin aren't in great form, but they're bored out in their mind. Paul Mannion and Jack McCaffrey aren't playing, yes, because of the stress and the strain, but they're a bit bored.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now. Alan, good morning to you.
Morning, lads. How are you?
Yeah, good. It felt this time last week we were saying, well, there might be a little bit of a vulnerability with the Springboks when it comes to maybe the breakdown, and dare we say it, maybe physically the Lions might have the edge in a few different positions. That turned on its head in the space of last weekend, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I think everyone was pretty surprised by how dominant the Springboks were in the second half last week. I thought the Lions, even though it's not pretty in the eye and nobody can justify and say that I'm wrong or anybody else is wrong for saying this has been poor rugby on the eye. It's been really a tough watch. It's been very intense and physical and all that stuff. And neither side are been too expansive. They're trying to do the simple things well and put pressure on each other. And that first half last week, you know, it was all going according to plan for the Lions. I don't think Warren Gatland would have minded what anybody says about the type of game that was played over the first two tests if they'd won that at the end. And you know, you think back to Robbie Henshaw, he scores that try before half time, they're in the driving seat. And I was really surprised that the way that South Africa played in that second half, and they were just utterly dominant, given we were talking about fatigue in the second half of the first test, and maybe they looked tired and that they were shot, and that lack of game practice, COVID, all that kind of stuff would have a real negative effect on them. So I was surprised. And it was incredibly intense, but poor rugby to watch. And you have to say probably the momentum and the that momentum is with the South Africans now for this third test.
Quiddy, on that, the fatigue that we saw from South Africa in the second part of that first test, myself and Owen were discussing the fact that the first half finished at 6:15 last week, an hour and 15 minutes after it kicked off. And obviously that suited the Springboks completely down to the ground, because the ball spent so much time off the field. There was so much time spent with the referee and his officials and the TMO discussing things. So much time getting ready for set pieces and treatment of injuries. Now, an awful lot of that is beyond the Lions' control, but what can they do? What can you do as a team and as an individual to try and get that quick tempo back, to try and cut down the amount of stoppages and to keep the ball on the field as much as possible? Is there anything the Lions can bring to the game that will see them put the Lions or the Springboks into that uncomfortable position where their fitness and their mental fitness is going to be tested again as it was the first day?
It's such a relevant point, Dave, that and South Africa do this so well. They control the tempo of games. Their set piece is so good. Their pressure game, defensively, they put you under so much pressure. So I think the Lions have been afraid to play against them. They've been trying to match like with like, kicking game, pressure, all that kind of stuff. And look, it worked in that first test, because they were so much better when they came out after half time. They were brave, kicking to the corner. Luke Cowan-Dickey scores the try. They're forcing the mistakes. South Africa didn't have an answer. They're not a good team to chase a game, South Africa, if they're behind. When they're in front, they can control all those things. And they look for those big moments. Scrum, breakdown, turnover, line-out steal. And that's what we saw last week in the second test. So people have asked me all week, what can the Lions do? And they've got to identify where there is some space and be patient with the ball. They are kicking it away. You know, the first attack last week, Biggar's taken out in the air, close to his own 10-yard line by Mapimpi. They kicked the penalty downfield. Brilliant touchline penalty down into on the Springboks 22. And they have a line-out. They win the line-out at the front, play two phases in field, and then they play another two phases off that ruck with Makavunipola and Courtney Laws carrying. And then they pass the ball 20 yards back to Dan Biggar to put an up and under in the air. Billy LaRue knocks it on. They get a scrum. They kick a penalty from that. And I just know myself for being out in the field, that's the kind of plan they had. Pressure, pressure, pressure. Do all this stuff that the South Africans do so well. and we'll win the game. We'll get penalties and we'll force mistakes. And it backfired on him because, and it's a shame because I think there's a lot more talent in that Lions team and there's a lot more variety that they should bring. I really thought they were hiding, keeping something under wraps before the test series started in the warm-up games, and I expected to see something different. So I think we didn't. Is it too late? It's probably not too late, but I just think we'll see a lot of the same again on Saturday. And you're in very risky territory, Dave, if you're taking on the South Africans at that power game and that pressure game. And I don't think the Lions can win on Saturday if they do that. I still think it's going to be very tight and they will look back and focus on what they did really well in the first test. But to answer the question, I think you've got to be patient with the ball. You've got to be accurate and get some width in your game. And that's not just throwing the ball around willy-nilly. It's about putting it through the hands, resourcing the breakdowns, making some good carries and maybe going for width again. You've got to engage their wingers to come up because kicking directly off first phase into the backfield, you know, Mapimpi and Colby drop back there with Willy LaRue and they're very, very dangerous if you kick loosely to them. Kicking up in the air is a 50-50 call and they lost all those 50-50s last week. So I would just, you know, to have any sort of control and tempo in your own game, you've got to do the basics really well. And then just get a bit of width in your game. Can the Lions do that? Yeah, they're capable of it. I think Bundiaki will be a big addition to them. Six changes in the team. They've picked Ken Owens for his scrummaging. Cowan Dickey is probably a more elusive player around the field. So there's a few selections there that you think it's going to be the same thing again. Liam Williams comes in, Josh Adams for that high ball. But they're in risky territory. I just love to see him be a bit more expansive and be brave with the ball.
Will Gatland be not know that he will be open to a huge degree of criticism if they do the same thing again and they lose again?
Yeah, I presume he will, but is it too late to change on? I think the problem for me here was two, three weeks out from the first test, I think he should have been picking his Lions team. Hindsight's a great thing. If he won last week, everyone would say it was a master plan. And you know, Warren Gatland, in fairness to him, he's very shrewd. His back is to the wall now, and I think his players will come out fighting. But I thought that the lack of cohesion in the selections and the uncertainty about who would start that first test was going on for a long time. Normally on these Lions tours, you've 10, 12 guys nailed on. And there's only two or three places up for grabs. That hasn't been the case this time. And it's a different kind of mentality he's to work off. So he was unsure himself. And that probably hasn't helped. I do think that I was looking for a plan B. And we didn't really see a plan B. Like I say, you set your stall out when you kick. When you're in a good attacking position and you pass the ball 20 yards back to your fly half to kick it up in the air. You know, people will argue and say they got 3 points out of it, but why not try and get the multi-phase? The situation, if you're talking about fatigue and an opposition, you have to get the multi-phase. 10, 15, 20 phases. We haven't seen that situation. Now, people will argue, well, South Africa don't allow you to get to that because they'll come up with a big impact tackle, force a turnover at the breakdown and smash you. But if you're really accurate and if that was part of the plan going in and it was resourced and practiced, I think it'd be great to have that in the locker and in your game plan that you could do that. But of course you come in for criticism, but you know, I think the Lions will come out fighting this week. Will they lose all those 50-50s in the air? I don't think so. Will they be pushed back in the scrum? I don't think so. Sometimes these things just spiral out of control when you're on the field. And South Africa got so much energy from some of those big plays last week that it just got worse and worse in the second half. And the Lions have to show real leadership. And I think there's been a lack of leadership throughout the team. You know, it's been niggly and they've tried to get in the South Africans' faces when there's been a few scuffles and stand up to them. But I just don't think they've been shrewd the way they've played.
Why has there been a lack of leadership then? Alan Wynne-Jones coming back in, should that not have given them this massive leadership boost and they would have been on the right track?
He's a leader, but I think you've got to lead on. Leadership is being vocal around leadership. There's more to it than just being vocal. Where's Tom Curry been in this tour? I think I was really, really looking forward to him. I'm a massive fan of his. He hasn't dominated either of those first two tests. You know, Dan Bigger hasn't really grasped hold of the game. I'm a fan of his as well. He's so competitive. The changes at scrum half, you know, Conor Murray is gone now again. Ali Price is in. What are they doing? What's he doing there? You know, the changes in centre, Doohan van der Merwe. You know, leadership is about more than just being vocal. It's about grasping hold of the game, coming up with big plays. And there just hasn't been enough of that. Toje last week was quiet. He was really good in the first test. So I think when you look at this game, if the Lions are going to win this on, I look at moments like big turnovers, being brave in attack, you know, getting over the game line, making a decision out on the run that you're going to attack your opposition, all that kind of stuff. So, of course, there's lots of kind of guys who'd be vocal and they've a lot of international caps and they've a lot of experience. But you've got to make big decisions out in the field and correct decisions and come up with big plays defensively and from an attacking point of view. And I just think they've looked a little bit disjointed. And that's a concern. Where you see the South Africans, the way they're creating the energy from the turnovers, from the tackles, they just look a way more cohesive unit. And that's crazy to say. Well, it's not crazy to say because these guys won a World Cup and they've created their own leadership group and fantastic players. But they hadn't played for nearly 2 years. One match, then they have COVID cases. Most of them played for the South Africa game. So they're very undercooked, the South Africans, where going into this match on Saturday, this Lions group have played 8 games. And we're still talking about cohesion and looking a bit disjointed, inaccuracy in passes. All those warm-up games, I worked for all of them and I analysed all of them. And one of the common themes was the catch pass, the knock-ons, the turnovers, the sloppiness. And I think they haven't sorted those issues out. But, you know, sometimes in games like this, when your back is to the wall, there's still a incredibly strong side. The emotional side of this will be very, very significant. And can they, you know, bring a ferocity, but bring a little bit of expansive, exciting rugby? It'd be a shame if we're talking Saturday evening and saying, look, they've been 3 terrible test matches, because the first two have been terrible and that's just the reality. But look, if Warren Gatland wins it, similar to the first test, he won't care. The same for Jacques Nienaber and Rassie Erasmus. If they squeeze the Lions and win by 3 points on Saturday, they won't care. But I just think it's a shame. It's something we've been looking forward to for a long, long time. And to have two test matches like we've had so far, it's been disappointing.
Is there any reason, Quiddy, for you to believe that tomorrow will be different? Like, you would, on the face of it, 4 changes out of 7 on your back line would perhaps suggest a complete about-face in terms of game strategy and how you're going to approach the game. But you could argue that each of the 4 have just been brought in to do what the guys who started last week did, just do it better, because we've talked in detail about how Lions failed under the high ball, and as good as Liam Williams is with the ball in his hand, he's been brought in to take those high balls a bit better than Stuart Hogg managed, for example. But yet the one member of that back line that you would have imagined would be most likely to lose his place is Doohan van der Merwe. How has he managed to stay in the team when they've been chopping and changing to the extent they have been?
Yeah, it's just his size and physicality, and I think Warren has probably always, in the history of knowing him and being involved with Ireland when he was there to start, he was always a fan of the physical player, the bigger player, and that's why van der Merwe has stayed there.
And doesn't that just sum everything up though, Quinny?
Yeah, it does. And Shane Horgan said that to me at the start of this tour, because I thought van der Merwe would start and he thought he was susceptible under the high ball, and when he turns, he's very good with the ball in hand. But yeah, you pick Liam Williams. I think Liam Williams is a fullback. He was my fullback before this before the first test. And I think he's a wonderful player. He's brilliant in the air. For all Stuart Hogg's strengths in attack, I think that there's still issues there around the high ball. And look, don't get me wrong. This is the very, very top end of competitiveness with the kicking game. Nobody kicks better than the South Africans. It's just part of their DNA. It's part of their game plan. It was so successful for them at the World Cup. And I just... Making four, those changes in the back line, is it going to change the way they play? No, it's not. It's going to. He's just hoping that they're going to do the simple things better than they did last week. And I'm just concerned. I one part of me thinks that the Lions are going to be ferocious and they're going to be a lot better with what they do this week. Another part of me thinks it's a shame that we're not going to see them attack. That they're going to buy into the narrative, and it's not easy against the South Africans, don't get me wrong. But I think back to that first test in 2016 when Ireland went to Cape Town. Different circumstances, a lot of the same players, South Africans, they were only starting out their Springbok kind of careers, but Ireland played just with brilliant tempo that day and pace, and they were disjointed, the South Africans. If you can get pace and tempo in your game, quick breakdown, easier said than done. But I just thought that this is a Lions team. This isn't a scratch international side. These are the best players in the British and Irish Isles. And I think they needed to be braver on this tour. But I still have a sneaking feeling that they could win this game on Saturday. That seems as to be, crazy it may seem.
It seems to be what a lot of people are thinking, Alan, without having a whole pile of evidence to support it. They're thinking that the Lions may pull something out of the bag. Listen, enjoy the game tomorrow, Alan, and looking forward to your analysis on Monday.
Cheers. Thanks, Ed.
Alan Quinlan there with us here on OTBAM, and we have brought you every Lions match today, live and off the ball, and it all comes to a head this Saturday at 5 o'clock. You can hear the crucial third and final series deciding test live on Newstalk. Our coverage will be brought to you in association with Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions. The football pod with Paddy and Andy.
Yes, Dublin aren't in great form, but they're bored out in their mind. Paul Mannion and Jack McCaffrey aren't playing, yes, because of the stress and the strain, but they're a bit bored.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.